Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Let's Go Read. I'm joined by Brad Balakjan, the author of The Wax Pack, and he is going to talk to me about his book today, which you can get on, let me double check here, April 1st at your bookstores or more likely online. And you can learn more at his website, thewaxpack.com. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I loved the book, and it's just such an interesting idea. You wrote in the intro that it came to you at a baseball game.
Yeah. So just sitting there watching a game nowadays, realizing that, you know, the players now, I still follow baseball, but I don't really know them the way that I knew them back in the 80s as a kid collecting cards, and kind of made me nostalgic for the guys that I grew up collecting and my heroes, and kind of wondering what happened to them after they were done playing, the kind of where are they now idea.
And you really got to know a lot more about these guys beyond their playing career. Was that the goal, or did you just want to catch up with a few guys you remembered?
No, I mean, this was very much always, I had very ambitious plans for the book. I wanted it to be something that went way beyond just a traditional baseball book. So as you see, the book is really, it's a narrative, it's a story. It's not meant to be picked up and just read one chapter here and there. It all kind of hangs together. And for me, it was much more interesting to write about or to find out who these guys were as people, not just players, right? Because now with the internet, with Baseball Reference, I mean, you can find any stat you want about anybody. So to me, it was much more interesting to get into, you know, this stuff off the field.
Right. And you mentioned that it was a narrative and it's meant to be read in one go rather than pieces. It almost felt like kismet at times, the way things flowed together, the way the narrative evolves, specifically around fathers and sons. Was that something you expanded on as the interviews went along?
No, I didn't really expect that to be a theme. I mean, I went in, I had done a lot of research on every guy. I knew the basics of their lives and their careers. But a lot of that information about their, you know, troubled relationships with their fathers, that all just came out as part of the interview process. And I was really grateful at how willing these guys were to be open, to be vulnerable with me, and to share a lot of that.
So was your dad, his part in the book, planned beforehand? Or did you think, as you were going along and hearing these baseball players talk about their relationships, that it would be a good idea to get your dad involved?
Yeah, I thought, you know, wherever I could, I wanted, I mean, this book was really, I knew it would, it was my story in addition to the player's stories. I think it's, you know, it's better that way to have me as sort of this overarching character, this sort of connective tissue with all the players. And my dad and I, we always take these father-son trips every year where we go off and do something. And as I was putting the trip together, and my dad's a huge baseball fan, I thought, you know, why not have him join me for part of it? And it turned out that the part that he was with me, you know, that the Lee Mazzilli, I didn't really know this going in, but one of the main themes of the Lee Mazzilli chapter, which is when my dad was there, was the, you know, the importance and the strength of the father-son relationship. So it really, that kind of worked out nicely, just sort of by chance.
Yeah, it really flows nicely in the book, adds a lot. I loved how that all came together. Now, one thing about this book that is kind of interesting compared to a lot of baseball literature these days is that you didn't have to get into analytics at all, just besides a brief mention. And I was wondering if that kind of gets back to your background. You're not a baseball writer necessarily. And so are you involved with the sabermetrics at all, or do you just want the personalities when you're watching a baseball game?
I mean, I think that stuff is interesting. I think, you know, analytics, it's all very meaningful. I mean, I'm a scientist, I'm a biology professor, so I certainly, I mean, basically analytics is all that is just using data to inform decisions, right? And that's applied to baseball, but that's now being applied everywhere. Sort of the use of quantitative data, evidence-based decision-making. And so I have a lot of respect for that approach, but I'm really a writer first, not a sports writer or a baseball writer. So for me, what draws me into writing projects are the sort of the human side of the game, the emotions and relationships and themes that transcend the content itself. And so I had no interest in writing a book about analytics because that's really not my area. It's not from a narrative perspective, I think that's more about content than it is about sort of the artistry of this kind of writing. I mean, this kind of book is really a creative nonfiction, a narrative nonfiction type of book. It's not, like you said, like a lot of other baseball books.
Now, you went into this without a book deal, correct? And it was your blog that you were working on?
No, I knew when I took the trip that I wanted to make this into a book, but I didn't have a deal ahead of time. And so it was on my own dime and my own time. But I did blog about the trip as I went.
I see. And that's all on waxpackbook.com?
Well, actually, the old blog entries, I had to redo my website, so all the old blog entries are gone. But the essence of the blog is now in the book, so...
One thing that struck me while I was reading, and this was before everyone was social distancing, was that another recurring theme was getting to that part of your life where you can accept things. And I took a picture of the quotes, you know, control what you can control from Rance Mullenix and Let It Go, Steve Yeager. I don't get to write the script, whatever it is. I just get to respond, Dan Carman. That just seems so perfect for this moment. And then on top of that, it's a book about meeting people where we can all kind of escape to that, which we can't do in real life now. Did you expect this book to have that kind of impact beyond just baseball?
Well, I certainly could not have predicted a global pandemic, but you right. you make a good point about its relevance right now just by chance. But no, I mean, I think what I wanted to get across in the book was that this is that through my experience talking about my OCD and the players' experiences talking about their lives, it's sort of a recipe for, you know, there's life philosophy in here, right? It's very applicable to everybody. How do you approach your life? How do you live your life in a way that, I mean, everyone I think wants to be happy, right? People want to be content in their lives. And what I found in the book was that the best recipe for being happy, being content is to like live in the present moment. You know, I call baseball players accidental Buddhists because whether they realize it or not, they're actually really good at being in the present moment and letting go of, you know, whatever happened in the past and not getting caught up in what could happen in the future. And, you know, so much of our stress in life comes from things that haven't happened and may never happen, right? The sort of the worry of the future. And what I wanted to get across here is that that's a lot of misplaced energy because all you ever have is, you know, what's right in front of you. You might as well be in that moment and not be off in the future somewhere.
And that's kind of what sports are for so many people. What do you think people can take away without sports? Is this book something that you hope they find that escapism in?
Yeah, I mean, I think sports are an escape for sure. I mean, reading can be an escape as well. It's entertaining. But at the same time, you know, sports, as you were saying, what makes sports is actually one of the most meditative activities in the sense that meditation is just being in the present moment. And anyone who's played sports knows that when you're playing sports, you're not thinking about like, oh, I got to like do the laundry tomorrow. I have to do my homework. Like your brain and your body are completely aligned. And so, if anything, I think sports is a reminder of the value of engaging in whatever's right in front of you, and right now, in this crazy time of uncertainty and a pandemic, I think that means being honest about where we are. I mean, things suck right now. There's a lot of collective grief in the air, and we have to accept that. And, you can't run away from that, but just, like you said, Rance Molenik said, control what you can control. You can't make this thing go away. So just stay with it and, take it one bit at a time.
Did that meditative wisdom help you when guys like Gary Pettis were unavailable to you?
Yeah, well, I think, sure, accepting that I wasn't going to get everything I wanted, that's a good lesson for life, right? Because you are going to fail no matter who you are and how good you are. And the better you can accept failure and learn from it, the happier you're going to be. But I also think getting blown off by guys made the book better. I mean, again, it's a narrative, and any good story needs dramatic tension and conflict. And, by having Vince Coleman not talk to me, or Carlton Fisk, or Gary Pettis, like that builds in some conflict into the story.
I kind of felt that having Dwight Gooden's son was almost better than if you had gotten Dwight Gooden. I was wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, right. I mean, Dwight Gooden's written 3 autobiographies. Like, what more could I possibly find out about him from him, right? It's like, I would have only probably had an hour with him. So, and there's so much out there about him. So I don't even know with him and with Fisk, like, I don't even know really what I would have asked them necessarily. So I think I wanted to find, how do I write about these guys in a novel way? And so talking to his oldest son, Little Doc, was a nice way to cover Dwight Gooden in a new way.
Now, you went on this road trip in 2015, and a lot of things have changed in the baseball world since then. Namely, the Astros cheating. So would that have changed the way you were written anything?
Well, my description of the Astros is pretty outdated. I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, I talk about them being this quaint little small market team or whatever, kind of that team that no one cares about, and couldn't be more wrong now. But yeah, I had no way of knowing that in 2015. So it is funny how quickly things change.
Yeah. And you're not alone. I can think of a handful of books that praised the Astros up and down and now seem a little bit off. Is there anything else that you'd want our readers and listeners to know about your book?
Just that I hope I hope people realize that it is something that I think anyone can appreciate. It's not really just for baseball fans. It's got really broad appeal, and I always like to hear from readers. So, after you read it, if you tweet me at @WaxPackBook, just let me know what you thought. And I'm always curious what people's favorite chapter was. Like, well, what was your favorite chapter, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Don Carmen was really good. The 2 chapters that touched on him, and like I mentioned, the Dwight Gooden, talking to his son, it stood out to me.
Yeah, no, it's good to know. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think the Carmen stuff, I mean, he was my favorite player, and he was just such an exceptional person. I was blown away by the person that he is. So definitely my favorite there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. That's Brad Balukjan. Did I say that right? Pretty much. All right. And his book's The Wax Pack. It's out April 1st. And the website is waxpackbooks.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.